Welcome to the Home Hour. I'm Kirsten.
And I'm Graham.
We're two moms aspiring to create elegant spaces and gracious homes while dealing with real life schedules, budgets, and children.
Stick with us and we'll share and show what we know, what we've learned, where we've messed up, and how to fix it.
For everything we can't make up, we'll bring in the best experts we can find. On today's episode, we're tackling the sometimes intimidating world of baking and explaining why cookies may be one of the easiest and most fun ways to bring holiday magic to your kitchen.
From international cookie traditions to creating pretty packages of cookies to hosting your own cookie exchange, we're discussing it all with the woman who literally wrote the book.
Plus, Swedish Santas, four-year-old chefs, and Graham takes the reins in this cookie extravaganza. Should I be worried? All that and more on this week's episode of The Home Hour. Welcome home.
Welcome home, Kirsten.
Welcome home, Graham.
And welcome to The Home Hour, everyone. On today's episode, we are interviewing Elisabeth der Nederlanden, and she is the author of Holiday Cookies, Showstopping Recipes to Sweeten the Season. And I'm not going to lie, Kirsten, I need a little bit of sweetening right now because it's daylight savings time and I have turned into a holiday Grinch.
No, I totally get it. So, daylight savings time is one of those problems. Well, I haven't lived in Phoenix, obviously, my whole life. I went to school back east, worked in the Midwest, worked back east, lived back east. So obviously, I'm very familiar with daylight savings. But Arizona is one of like the two states, maybe even the only state that does not participate. So we don't have daylight savings. And I can't stand daylight savings because I'm with you. That 4 o'clock, it's dark, was so depressing.
And now, it like changes on a dime. That's the problem.
It's crazy.
You go from like long days where, you know, your lifestyle changes in a day. And then on top of it, as the mother of young children, you go to these like the longest day on earth, which is basically, you know, the first day of daylight savings time where your kids are up at 5 a.m., you know, but what, it's spring ahead, fall behind. So it's really like 4 a.m. and you're just, and then just the day just goes and goes and goes. And then you just don't know what to do. It's like 4:50 and it's dark and cold and I'm just, yeah. It honestly, it was the perfect interview for today because I felt like baking because you're just kind of stuck and trapped in your house and you're like, what should we do? Let's do something together. And that's a good thing. It really is a good thing.
Wait. But here's the thing. It's funny. We actually are just randomly talking about daylight savings time because, so a little behind the scenes, everyone. Usually, obviously, Graham and I do our interviews together, but this one we couldn't make work. We just couldn't get it scheduled. And here's the problem. My whole calendar is a nightmare because Google Calendar messed me up. And I'm sure my husband's like, there's settings you just have to put in. I didn't do any of that. So because of daylight savings time, I have missed like 17 appointments in the last 2 days.
Yeah, because that's the funny thing with doing this podcast, like we're almost every time zone now. We have to deal with people in different time zones, and you're right, it's you. You're the problem.
Because I'm the problem. But guess what?
At 4 o'clock
in the afternoon, we were swimming today. So not to be a braggart, but
Okay,
so cookies. You talked about cookies. I've heard the interview. It's really fun. Y'all are going to enjoy it. But can I just tell you a little bit more behind the scenes? As I've looked endlessly at the name of the show, Graham, am I the only one who has been constantly singing the Troop Beverly Hills cookies song to herself all week?
Which is?
It's cookie time, it's cookie time, it's cookie time. Like all week, Phyllis Neffler, Troop Beverly Hills, has been in my ear saying, you're going to miss this interview because of daylight savings time. And then, of course, to add insult to injury, I mean, my name is Kirsten. Like, I am Swedish. We finally have a Swedish guest on the show and I miss it. What is going on? And ironically, more behind the scenes, my sister's name is actually Elisabeth. Like, spelled the same way. What are the odds? Where was I?
Totally missed out. I know. We could have used some cookie jokes.
You could have used some Swedish insights. I mean, I read all those Meet Kirsten books growing up. She was my American girl doll of choice.
And I would say our guest today, she really kind of goes behind the scenes. She gives us a lot of good dish on what it's like to celebrate Christmas in Sweden. And on that note, we kind of do want to tell everyone who's listening, if you have little ears with you, just be very careful because we go into Christmas in depth. And so you might want to plug your earbuds in for this one. And not that
there might be some things that are just more magical, you know, when they're just best for the Swedes to know.
Right.
If
right.
we will. We have our Swedish secrets. I hope the parents are catching what we're throwing, which is totally Swedish cookie they're... batter.
Right, exactly. Right. But, you know, so just plug those earbuds in toward the end of the show so that we don't mess anything up for little ears who might right. be listening.
Right. Well, I'm glad you got to do the interview because I feel like you're more of a baker than me. I'm the world's worst baker, like officially. I'm pretty good with a stovetop, but the minute it goes in the oven, it's like just a lick and a promise and a prayer. Like, hopefully you don't come out burned. And they always do. So,
yeah. I mean, she gave some really good tips, but I'm not an amazing baker, but I'm trying. And I think it's the type of thing where there's a lot of promise in kind of making some fun stuff for the holidays and some interesting new recipes and some international recipes. But no, I'm certainly not an amazing baker.
Okay. I also want to talk to you because I do feel like cookies are a really good way to kind of just dip your toe into baking because, I don't know, something about them is a little bit less intimidating. But you've talked before about how there's just a lot of really sweet neighborly kind of activity, bringing people homemade food, that sort of thing. Like, do you get a lot of fun little cookies showing up on your doorstep this month? Because I have like two friends who do it, and it is one of our favorite traditions. My kids are like, when are they coming with their cookies, Jess and Catherine? But, you know, they really like it's become like their signature thing, and I love it. And I think, you know, maybe if you got two or three friends together, that would be a really sweet way to kind of have maybe a fun afternoon baking and also, you know, a sweet gift for your neighbors or for teachers. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's all about the interview. You have to listen. Like, we'll talk about how to host a cookie baking party, a cookie exchange, how to package them and make them look good, different types you can make. So yeah, it's kind of fun, but we get a lot of cookies this time of year. I mean, it's certainly not good for the waistline, but definitely enjoyable. And so
we'll address that in January. We'll address all that in January. And then the other thing that you and I kind of talked about today when I asked you how everything went, and you said, you know, I really need to bake with my kids. And we were talking about it, and that's kind of, I think, not a New Year's resolution, like a holiday season resolution that both you and I have set, is when my children come up to me at 7 a.m. and see me scrambling eggs and say, I want to help mommy. I don't care that I'm the worst mom ever. I have no desire to let them help. Like, we are rushing out the door. We got to go. We got to get on our clothes. You know, there's just no time. And there's just a slower pace when the kids are out of school and they're on that long winter break. And it's not like it's dinner. Like, if we mess up the cookies, it'll be okay. So I think that's going to be
right.
Also,
and it's not even like it's like a cake.
Yeah,
I get what you're saying, right? Because if you're doing a cake, you're just getting one cake. So you've got to be all in. You've got to be precise, whatever. But with cookies, there's enough leeway. Like, it is the perfect ground to just mess it up, right? You can always put in your second batch, or you can, you know, spend more time on the next cookie or whatever it is. But I think that's what I'm going to be doing in some of our dead hours, because I think we have a lot of those these days between like sports practices and whatever. We just have like an hour and 15 minutes to kill, you know, something like that, where, you know, one child's here and the other child's waiting to go somewhere. And I think that's what we're going to try, is a little bit of baking and like messing up the kitchen. This is the season of messing up the kitchen.
Okay. So we had two cookies growing up that just reminded me of holidays, because I don't really have tons of memories of my mom baking, but I definitely remember we would always do gingerbread cookies. And I don't know if you've done that with your kids, but that's really fun. And it's actually kind of convenient because you can make a ton of dough all at once and then put them in the freezer. And so it's like a roll of gingerbread batter. And then so we would have it actually a couple times over Christmas break, but we had that the one big baking, not baking really, mixing session. And then we'd bake fresh gingerbread throughout the rest of the, you know, the kind of the holiday season.
Oh my God, you're so Swedish and you don't even notice it. Like, did you fully listen to her interview? Because that's apparently the Swedish cookie.
Hey, I'm not making this
stuff up. She said it beautifully and I don't remember the name of it, but it was like a Kroklaken noodle. Just completely made that up. But apparently that is really important.
It's very important. And then there's another one that's like almost like a sugar cookie, but like a Swedish sugar cookie. And you stick your thumb in and then you put jelly in it. And my mom was really big on these. And I think if my mom had access to lingonberry jelly, she would have used that, but we did not. But here's my question. I really, you know, both Graham and I were journalism majors. We have worked together on journalism projects from the time we were like 19 years old. But Graham, I think you missed the biggest question.
Which was?
What is her relationship like with IKEA? Like, does she buy the IKEA cookies?
That is a, and the meatballs. I mean, that there's so many different, you're right. And also we could have talked about that offline. So don't just totally discount my,
I mean, something's, the people want to know, have you tried IKEA cookies? If you don't, if you just listen to this show for entertainment and are not going to try any of these ideas, just go to IKEA. It's amazing.
Oh, when we lived in DC, our family would go to IKEA for dinner. That was like, that was a legitimate restaurant in our world.
Have I told you about how I'm in the sweet spot of IKEA right now? It's a really precious time in our family's life.
Why? Because you can leave my kids zone.
My oldest child is still short enough and my youngest child is tall enough. And I'm like, this is like a sixth more month situation I've got going. And sometimes I go to IKEA just to, like, you know, just check my email and drink a 75-cent cup of coffee. Just laughing at those suckers, man, over at Starbucks.
Okay, honestly, sorry, no joke. We don't have an IKEA here. It's, you're actually starting to make me a little bit depressed.
Oh, well, it's just my Swedish upbringing just coming on out right now. Anyhow, okay, well, cookies, Graham, are we gonna learn everything? Is there anything else you need to add?
No, ho, ho, ho.
Okay, without further ado, please enjoy this fun conversation about cookies and have a happy holiday.
And good morning, and we're here finally with Elisabeth der Nederlanden, and I botched that, I'm going to say it again, Elisabeth der Nederlanden, and we are thrilled to have you on the show today, the author of the absolutely stunning holiday cooking book, Holiday Cookies, Show-Stopping Recipes to Sweeten the Season. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
We are absolutely just, you've written just a gorgeous book on holiday baking, and you're so much more than a baker. You're a chef, you're a food stylist, and you are kind of our intro into just kind of getting ready and feeling good about the holidays. Elisabeth, I'm going to say we don't have Kirsten with us today, but what I think is kind of cool is, like, this is a good opportunity for us to just kind of get cozy and start thinking about the holidays. So
I know it's coming up so quickly.
It is. Now, I know you're not originally from the States. Can you tell us a little bit about holidays growing up in Sweden, or just how you got into cooking in the first place?
Well, I think back home, so when I was growing up, and well, still too, but the winters are very long. And so I think the holidays, especially Christmas, is where we do all the decorating and all the lights to kind of brighten the darkness. And we spend a lot of time preparing for Christmas. So I just have really great memories from that. There was a lot of great smells, of course, and all the getting together and baking. It stuck with me, I think, until now. And I still love the holidays so much.
And how did you decide to come and put together a book on holiday cookies? What was kind of the genesis versus pies or cakes or Christmas food in general or holiday food? What do cookies specifically say to you?
Well, I think cookies in general are just loved because they're so portable. They usually hold up really well, and you can indulge in your own little dessert without having like a major dessert. But when it comes to holiday cookies, I think that it's just like, it brings in the sheer, all that decorating you can do, a lot of sparkly sprinkles, and you can get together with your friends, and it's just this anticipation for the holidays coming.
Right. And you know, you're actually totally reminding me, a few years ago, my husband and I took a trip to Iceland over Christmas time, over New Year's.
And nice.
For those, and I wish it was Sweden, I've actually never been, but for those of you who aren't familiar, Iceland around New Year's is basically 20 odd hours of darkness.
Yes. Yes.
It is serious nighttime. And you're bringing back, just, you're evoking that memory for me of, oh my gosh, it was so it was so much more decorated, and there was even more of a spirit there. And I guess you're right, when you're thinking about holiday time, if it's colder and darker longer, you are going to double down on things that are warm and aromatic and shareable and festive. So yeah, I can see. And
I think that's just it. It falls like Christmas falls right in the middle of winter, basically. And it's just like everybody takes that opportunity to just make the best out of it.
Totally. Well, so I feel like the United States has kind of come into this holiday cookie craze, because I, as a child, do not remember this being a thing. And it is now a thing. Holiday cookies are such a big deal. It's an event. It's a party that people throw. Can you kind of run us? I know in your book, you include how to do a really fun holiday cookie exchange for anyone who might be interested in trying one.
Well, I think I'm actually planning one right now, and I think they're really fun because, so basically you should check with your friends, whoever that really like to bake. And, if you're the hostess, you will send out the invitation. You'll be responsible for making sure that nobody's making duplicate cookies. And usually, let's say if you're 8 people getting together, everyone would bake 8 dozen. So it's a lot of cookies, but you're making one kind of cookie. So usually that's a lot quicker. And then you do the exchange at the hostess house, and everybody walks away with the same amount that they brought, but all different kinds of cookies. So then you're set for all your entertaining, basically, for the holidays.
I love that. And you're the hostess, like you said. So how do you know? What if I'm going to bring, you know, a double chocolate mocha chip? I just need to make sure that nobody else is bringing the same thing.
So I would, the hostess should check in with the guests to make sure and ask them beforehand, which cookie is their favorite? Which one are they thinking of baking? And then just checking in with everybody and making sure that there's a good blend, I guess. And then I would serve a little bit of savory food, because there's going to be a lot of sweetness going on. So maybe a little savory food and some drinks, and then just have a fun. You can have a little decorating going on if you want, decorating sugar cookies.
Okay. And then you that's do kind of the for exchange. The kids, if you want to bring the kids in.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. You can do
and
that.
And I know you have a 4-year-old son you mentioned. How do you bring him in? Because I think my 4-year-old son would eat maybe someone's half a dozen of one dozen cookies, and then someone would go home shortchanged.
that could easily happen. Yes. Well, he loves to help in the kitchen and with baking, of course. And I think that sometimes it doesn't work because, you know, you have to make something that maybe you're bringing somewhere and that there's a time crunch. But I just feel like when we decide that we're going to do it, I might have a friend over. I have a girlfriend who will bring her daughter, and we'll just bake all of us together. And you just have to let it go and just think that it's fine, that it's going to be really, really messy for a while. And then that's it. So then you don't have to worry about it. And not everything has to be perfect. It's more about having just a great time.
And that's totally what this home hour is about, is lowering the bar and letting people feel good about it. But there is something so beautiful in the way that you package the cookies that you give away. I feel like that's something that really stands out in your book. And I typically just go to the dollar store and get the dollar store cookie tins. You have some really neat things that you do either with the candies or whatever it is you're putting together. Do you have any tips for anyone on how to put it together and make it pop?
Well, I think you can do, I mean, there's a few ways. There's a lot of nice disposable paper plates or bamboo plates that you can, you could either line it with a doily or just put them straight on, depending on what kind of cookies you're packaging. And then I would cover it with a cellophane bag and tie it with a nice little ribbon and the tag and, you know, write on the tag what kind of cookies there are in there. Or you can do a muffin or a cupcake liner, and I would put it in the bottom of a cellophane bag, like a long sleeve. Mm-hmm. And then I would stack the cookies. So again, it depends on what shape they are, but let's say they're round little shortbreads, then I would stack them really high to make kind of a
creative.
Dramatic.
Oh, so you take a long cellophane, almost like a wine bottle.
Yes.
Cellophane,
yes.
And then stick one cupcake holder at the bottom and then do a big stack.
Yeah, and then tie it at the top, and then again put a label. So that's more of like a fun, dramatic.
Oh, I do
there's
like
so many, yes, there's so many nice well, if you have a cake decorating supply store maybe close by, or even online. I mean, there's so many cute little boxes that you can put them in and just line them with either a parchment paper or a colored wax paper, and pack them in there if they're a little bit more delicate type of cookie.
Mm-hmm. That's a really nice idea. And then let's say we're thinking about other holiday events or parties we're throwing. My favorite two things in your book were you made cookie place cards and edible Christmas ornaments. Tell me more.
Well, when I was writing the book, I was dividing it into chapters just because usually there's chapters in a book so you can, you know, separate them a little bit. And I was trying to think of cookies that would be very tasty, of course, but it would also work as a decorating item. So either a centerpiece for your dessert table for Christmas or any of the upcoming celebrations leading up to Christmas. And then also when you're setting your table, to be able to do little place settings like that. I thought that was neat. So
that's so it's an actual it cookie evolved. With mm-hmm. the person's name on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they can eat. Okay.
Absolutely. They could eat it, take it home or eat it maybe after dinner. But yeah, it's absolutely edible. And those cookies work really well to make beforehand and just freeze them undecorated. So if you have a lot going on, you know, leading up to all your holiday gatherings, you can bake them all off beforehand, and then I would freeze them, separate them maybe with a little parchment paper and freeze them, and then let them defrost at room temperature and decorate them like the day before, a couple of days before you're gonna use them.
Okay. And then yeah. The edible ornaments as well for the Christmas tree or for any kind of Hanukkah bush or whatever it is you're decorating?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just so fun. We did a lot growing up. We did a lot of pepparkakor, which is that thin ginger snap cookie. It's also in the book, but we would make really large heart-shaped ones and then make a little hole before you bake them. And we would usually just write God Jul, which is Merry Christmas in Swedish. And we would hang those on the tree or around in the kitchen and have like a little ribbon tied in that hole. So I think that's just come from, we would do, yeah, edible decorations, basically.
I'm just picturing my cat climbing in the Christmas, or my cats, plural, climbing up in the Christmas tree. Or I could actually visualize my 4-year-old like standing by the Christmas tree, just chomping at one of those cookies. Like, you know how you almost do donut on a string, that game mm-hmm. where you don't use your mm-hmm. hands and you try to eat it? I can picture
that. That could happen. I feel like I have memories of actually going into the Christmas tree when I was little and taking a little nibble of something when I really had, because I had a bad sweet tooth.
Or those candy canes there. That was exactly a mistake.
Yeah.
Now, I just want to take a quick moment. We have a sponsor today, and I'd just like to thank HelloFresh for their sponsorship and just take a brief pause to hear some more about HelloFresh.
It's Kirsten here, and I'm back. And as Graham just pointed out, today's episode is brought to us through a partnership with HelloFresh.
Yes, HelloFresh makes it easy to cook a delicious, balanced dinner for less than $10 a meal. And what's really neat about it is that you can choose your delivery day for when it works best for your family's busy schedule. You can also pause your account for weeks at a time when you're out of town. And what I think is really neat is that they have 3 plans to choose from. You can choose the classic, veggie, or family plan. And they also offer a wide variety of chef-curated recipes that change pretty much weekly. Something that our family really enjoyed were the kid-tested recipes. And those are recipes that are made specifically with families in mind. One recipe that's super popular is the easy-peasy ravioli gratin with spinach, thyme, and Parmesan breadcrumbs. And so if you're looking to try something really interesting and new for your family and just kind of have a little adventure in cooking and just kind of break out of the norm, we'd invite you to go to HelloFresh.com. And for all of our listeners, we have a discount code, and you just enter HOMEHOUR30 for $30 off your first week of delivery. So thank you, HelloFresh, for your sponsorship. And again, it's HelloFresh.com and HOMEHOUR30 for $30 off your first week of delivery.
Yeah. And, you know, if it's been something you've been sort of thinking about, I mean, give it a try. We had so much fun trying HelloFresh. My kids, so total mom fail here, but I realized I've never served pork chops to my family. My box included a meal with pork chops. And let me just tell you, my kids are like, can we please have this once a week? I mean, I totally would have missed that. So I think it's just a great way to open your horizons to foods that aren't always, you know, just in, we all get in ruts, right? We get in our usual rotation, our typical meals. And like, what a fun way to sort of, you know, introduce yourself to some great new recipes. And you know, these recipes have all been tried and true and are going to be winners. We just had so much fun. And if it's been something you've been throwing out, use the $30 off code and enjoy it. We had fun. How about you, Graham?
My family loved it. Yeah, it was really fun to get that big box in the mail and just kind of cook away. Yeah, we did it together.
Well, thank you, HelloFresh. And now I will let Graham get back to her interview about cookies.
And now I have another question for you. Let's say I'm a novice baker, which I completely am. And I actually, this is a kind of a sentimental year for me because my grandmother passed away this year and she was the baker of the family. And so I just think that there's so many special things in people's family that evoke, especially around the holiday times. Like, we knew that my grandmother brought, you know, she had her signature brownies and she had her signature sugar cookies that she made every year. And I'm trying to really learn how to make them this year because I want my family to have this tradition and have it be something that we carry on. Yeah. But I'm not a great baker. And I know baking is an exact science. Mm-hmm. For any of our listeners out there who want to kind of get into this cookie game, throw us a bone, like make it a little less intimidating because there is the art of perfection here.
Well, I think when it comes to cookies, baking is definitely a science. Cookies, I would feel, is a great start then because it's usually a little bit easier. And if you have a great recipe and you follow it, you should be fine. I think what you just said about your grandmother who had certain cookies or baked items that she would bring, that would be a great way of going because if you have recipes, or even if you don't have the recipes, you can ask friends or family members that would have something similar. And I think that's the way of really getting into it, because if you're trying to reproduce something that you have great memories of, it's so well worth it to do it. And you just keep at it and then you'll get there.
I'm a little jealous of you and Kirsten, because whenever I visit Kirsten out in Arizona, my hair always looks fantastic. You're going to say, where is this girl going with this question? My hair always looks amazing. And it's because there's no humidity out there. And yes. I know you're on the West Coast as well. And I'm sitting here thinking humidity and baking, because it does matter, right? The moisture and the climate that you're in, right? Like, you don't make meringue on a rainy day, that type of thing.
Exactly. Yes. It does make a difference, especially when it's with meringues. It makes a huge difference.
So you're wondering how hair and cookies go together, but they do. I know whenever I have a bad hair day, don't bake. Don't bake on a bad hair day.
Right.
Well, you have a chapter in the book on international cookie recipes, and you go way beyond the sugar cookie. And I grew up eating Hummantaschen, Rugula, Linzer tarts, many type of exotic cookies that, you know, sometimes I'm a little bit afraid to try by myself, but you line them out step by step. Let's just talk about, you know, some of your favorites from the book, or some things that might be a little more exotic that maybe we could do to spruce up our everyday cookie recipe. Anything you might recommend for us?
Well, I mean, it's always fun to try something new, right? And maybe you do have a friend or a relative from another part of the world, and maybe that would give you the incentive to try something. But I think, I mean, obviously for me, pepparkakor, the Swedish ginger snaps are a must. I think they're really fun. They're almost addictive. They're very thin and they have a nice little spice to them. So I would recommend definitely trying those. I like nuts in cookies. I think the Linzer Augen, the Linzer cookies are delicious. And it takes a little bit more time because you have to make the two cookies to sandwich them together, but they look really, really pretty and they're such a great holiday cookie. I highly recommend them. Also, the Hungarian kiffles are just delicious.
Tell us more about that for people who don't have the book. What's in a kiffle?
Well, it has, it's kind of close to a rougalèche dough, although it's not as crispy, but it's flaky. It's flaky and buttery. And you make little squares, and you can have different kinds of fruit fillings. I used an apricot filling because that's what I had before. Actually, a friend introduced me to these cookies because she grew up eating them. And then you pinch two corners, opposite corners together, and bake them that way. And then you dust them with powdered sugar when they come out. And they kind of just melt in your mouth. They're just... They're delicious. Yeah.
We're also recording around lunchtime, and you're making me yes. starving. yes. So as far as the tools we need in the kitchen to get this operation going, what should we not be scrimping on? What matters and what doesn't? What are your kind of, if you're a novice baker or you're really trying to up your game, what do we need to have on hand?
Well, I think as far as tools go, the main thing is to be able to, I feel like, cream butter and sugar together, which would be great to have a standing mixer with a paddle attachment. Mm-hmm. But you could also do it with a handheld. That works as well. But it's just important to be able to cream the butter and sugar. Mm-hmm. And so a tool to actually work the dough is great. Also a food processor, depending on what kind of cookie dough you're going to do. It's very useful because the food processor you will also use to crush down all your nuts, and it's a very useful. And of course, a rolling pin to roll out your cookie dough, and a great, you know, a good big surface. The bigger, the better. I feel like when you have a big, large surface, you can really spread out, and it just makes the job so much easier. And good sheet pans. Nothing special, just very basic sheet pans, because a lot of times when you're baking, you need more than one. You need a few of them, and just have them ready to go. I think that's all I think you really need in tools as far as goes.
Top shelf butter? Can you buy normal butter? I mean, give me the basics to make me better. Basic flour, fancy flour. Are you grinding your own flour?
That would be nice.
These
right?
seem simple. I know you're an expert, but like for me, I mean, I just walk down the supermarket aisle and I pass seven different types of flour and I just grab the first thing I see that, you know.
Right.
Seems like
I think that's fine. I think that's totally fine. There's a lot of great ingredients out there, and I think whatever you have on hand or whatever you happen to buy that day for something else, I think it's fine. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be fancy to make cookies. I think in some recipes, if it's calling for something specific, I would follow it because it usually has a good reason. Like a European style butter, for example, has a higher butter fat, and it makes a difference. You can taste it. Okay. I think that's it. I remember when I was home this summer, I went home for a month, and my mother have a friend who brought us some butter from a nearby farm, and I used that in cookies, and I also used the jam that my sister's friend had made, and it just made it really special. But I'm not sure if it was, you know, obviously it probably helped with the taste, but it was also in my mind, I felt like I made something really special with, you know, all these ingredients that was close by. So I think that's, you know,
it just feels a little spruced up. But no, I totally get what
exactly.
you're saying.
Exactly. Yeah. So
we
I
had
think
somebody
it's very
bring
individual.
Us some eggs the other day. I'm a nut for fresh eggs. And,
oh, yes.
And I bet if it was a blind taste test, I'm not sure if I'd be able to taste the difference, but I've probably eaten about 9 egg sandwiches since I got these eggs. They're
it's
just
amazing, like, right? Yeah. It's because you know, and it feels special to you. So I think that's, yeah.
Right. The last question I have for you, and we've taken a lot of your time and you've been so dear to talk to us today, is what do you leave out for Santa Claus in your house? What I can't even imagine the debate that must go down.
So it goes back to my childhood, I think, because Santa comes in the evening of Christmas Eve with us. And I've carried on that tradition with my family here just because it just comes naturally. They come out in the evening. And so last year I had asked a neighbor to be the Santa. because including my son and my friend's children are getting a little bit older, so they realize if Santa is actually dad dressed
up. Okay. So this is fascinating. So somebody actually in Swedish tradition,
yes,
someone actually arrives at the, so there's an interaction with Santa.
Oh,
Claus.
Yes, there's an interaction. Yes, I didn't mention that there is an actual, they come out.
This like is
if you're
amazing.
In the countryside, they would come out of the woods basically, and they carry a little light with them, a live light.
Okay.
And they say, you know, good evening to all the kids and ask if all the kids have been good. And of course, all the kids shout yes. And then he has a big sack of gifts that he hands out that, you know, obviously the parents have given him beforehand.
You're rocking my world. But wait, but what if, say, there's like a bicycle that needs to be delivered or a giant? So you're saying in Sweden, it's not as large and grandiose as...
I guess not. I mean, we got skis, I know, a couple of years, and those we got after Santa left.
Okay.
And so I think the parents work it in somehow. But yeah, the Santa would carry a sack of a few gifts for each child. And they open them right away. And yes, that's so, yeah. It's a nice tradition. But our dear neighbor here, who was happy to do it, he made a great Santa. And he just wanted cookies as payment. So I brought him platters of cookies.
I think that definitely sounds fair. Well, happy holidays to you. And thank you so much for giving your time and your expertise to all of our listeners today. Elizabeth,
oh, my pleasure.
Where can we
to you too.
Find your book, Holiday Cookies, Showstopping Recipes to Sweeten the Season? We will post this up on our site, hello@thehomehour.com. You can listen to us wherever you find podcasts. And welcome home. Thank you for listening.